It's Wednesday, the 5th of January, 2022. Thank you for joining us today for The World and Everything in It. Good morning. I'm Mary Reichard.
And I'm Nick Eicher. First up today, political battles ahead in the new year. 2022 is, of course, an election year, and with Democrats holding bare legislative majorities, it's likely Republicans could take control after November. So what are the big races to keep an eye on this year that will determine control of Congress?
Well, joining us now to answer that question is Kyle Condick. He is an elections analyst and director of communications at the University of Virginia. Kyle, good morning. And first of all, I'm really glad you're not stuck on a highway somewhere in Virginia.
Likewise.
Well, let's start with the Senate. You have analyzed the upcoming races, and you say that when the election is over, Democrats are likely to have at least 47 seats, and Republicans are likely to have at least 49. So doing the math, that's 96. And we need to talk about the four remaining, those that you call toss-ups. So to control the Senate, Democrats need to win three out of those four toss-up races. Republicans just two. So let's take a moment and briefly break these down, and let's start with Pennsylvania. Let's talk about that race.
Yeah, it's an open seat. It's the most vulnerable Senate seat that the Republicans are defending. Of course, Pennsylvania is arguably the premier swing state in American politics right now. Pat Toomey, the two-term Republican senator, is retiring, and there's kind of an open question on both sides of the aisle as to who the candidates will be. You know, kind of a familiar theme as we talk about these races. I feel like that if President Biden's numbers are as weak in November as they are now, you know, usually in that kind of environment, the party that doesn't hold the White House, benefits in the midterm. And so you might expect the Republicans to, win this race ultimately and be able to hold this seat, even if their candidate doesn't end up being great. And, we'll have to see who emerges. I guess the most recent kind of big news in that race was the emergence of TV doctor, Dr. Oz, who is certainly unproven as a candidate, but, maybe he's able to win the nomination and be in the U.S. Senate. It wouldn't be the first time you'd have somebody with no political experience immediately winning kind of a high profile race. So, again, there's a lot still to be determined, but election results in Pennsylvania are always interesting to watch because, the state is just so important at the presidential level.
All right. Well, that's Pennsylvania. So let's go to Georgia now, the state that delivered control of the Senate to Democrats in 2020. Who are the major players in that race?
And so Raphael Warnock, the Democrat who won early 2021 Senate runoff, he has to run again to try to get a full term here in 2022. Probably the likeliest Republican candidate is Herschel Walker, the former NFL running back, who is heartily supported by former President Trump. There are other candidates running in that race, though. And Walker is another kind of unproven outsider Republican candidate. Georgia is, historically in recent years been a Republican state, but it's sort of zooming toward the Democrats, so much so that, Democrats, of course, hold both Senate seats from Georgia now. John Ossoff won a full term in the last cycle, along with Warnock winning this partial term. And you've seen a lot of Democratic growth, particularly in the metro Atlanta area. The state has been, there are a lot of states kind of switching roles in American politics. Georgia's one that's certainly become more Democratic in recent years. You're also going to have a blockbuster gubernatorial race in that state. Brian Kemp, the sitting Republican governor, faces a primary from David Perdue, former U.S. senator, and then also Stacey Abrams, who nearly beat Kemp in 2018, is the likely Democratic candidate. So in terms of star power and nationally watched races, Georgia's pretty high up the list.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move from Georgia now to Nevada. What about the Senate race there?
Catherine Cortez Masto is the first-term Democratic incumbent who's going to be seeking another term. She's probably going to face Adam Laxalt, who is the former state attorney general who lost a pretty competitive race for governor in 2018. Laxalt is a pretty conservative candidate, but he's certainly capable of winning in the right kind of environment. And, Nevada seems like kind of state where if the Democrats' numbers don't get better, you really could see the party struggle because the Democrats have been sort of losing support, particularly with kind of working class voters of all stripes. And there's been some weakness with Latino voters. And Nevada has a pretty diverse working class electorate. So I almost think that Nevada might be the most vulnerable of the Democratic held Senate seats, although, Georgia is certainly another one. On the other hand, typically Democrats Democrats in Nevada have kind of an organizational advantage over Republicans, and that has allowed them to kind of eke out close victories in 2016, 2018, and 2020. But this may very well be a harder political environment that for Democrats than any of those past elections were. So this is one to watch, and may very well be, you know, the top Republican pickup opportunity in the country. Although, again, you could sort of split hairs as to which state that might end up being.
Interesting. And in Arizona, Democratic Senator Mark Kelly is running for re-election. How's that race look?
Yes, another race with sort of an uncertain Republican field. You know, one of the themes I think so far is that I don't think Republicans necessarily have gotten their, you know, top tier star candidates in a lot of these races. One of the other vulnerable Democratic senators is Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire, but the popular sitting Republican governor there, Chris Sununu, decided not to run for Senate, which I think was a blow to Republicans because they really thought that had Sununu run, that maybe that would have been their best pickup opportunity. But again, you look at, you know, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada. I don't know if there's a clear kind of star candidates in any of those races, but given the environment, maybe that Republicans can win all those races. But again, it's the field still sorting itself out in Arizona. You know, Kelly was leading the whole time. He also won a special election in 2020, so he's running for a full term here in 2022. You know, he was leading the whole time, but ultimately, you know, his race ended up being relatively close, roughly 2-point race. So it wouldn't take much in terms of the political environment for Arizona to go back to electing a Republican. I mean, purple states often break against the president's party in a midterm environment.
Mm. Okay, Kyle, that's the Senate. Let's talk a little bit about the House now. There are over 400 seats in the House. Democrats currently have a slim 9-seat majority. How are you sizing up the battle for the House?
One of the developments over the holidays is that we actually had a lot of states finalize their redistricting process. Based on our own kind of back of the envelope look at redistricting, we've got Republicans up a little bit, Democrats down a little bit, but that's not taking into account necessarily the political environment. You know, the president's party almost always loses House seats in midterms. We got to see how the rest of the map will shake out, but you know, I think the Republicans are very well positioned to win the House. You know, in some ways they did a lot of their work in 2020 in that, you know, they ended up netting seats instead of losing them, and so they got pretty close to the House majority in 2020, and you know, they only need to win 5 more seats than they won last time. So mm-hmm. I think they're well positioned as, you know, as the battlefield takes shape. You know, again, we're still waiting on some of these districts to be drawn.
I know oftentimes when the odds are stacked against one party heading into an election, you see a lot of retirements in the House. Are you seeing that trend?
Yeah, look, there's been a lot of Democratic retirements. It's a mix of older veteran members from safe districts who don't really face any threat in 2022, but maybe don't want to serve in the minority, or maybe they just feel like now's a good time because, again, there are a lot of definitely kind of older members in the Democratic House caucus. But then you also have some members from swing districts who retired, you know, a while back. I mean, Sherry Bustos from Illinois, Ron Kind from Wisconsin, more recently Stephanie Murphy from Florida. And whereas you look at the Republican retirements, there are fewer of them, and they aren't in as many vulnerable seats. So, you know, retirements, particularly if there's a disparity for one party or the other, can sometimes tell us something about the environment. And I think that the retirements broadly tell us what the bigger picture is, was that, you know, the Democratic chances in the House are not great.
Final question here, Kyle. Are there any seats in the House that you look at and say, boy, if this goes the Republicans' way or the Democrats' way on November 8th, it's going to be a really long night for one party or the other?
Yeah, look, in some of these states that just finished up redistricting over the holidays, Arizona, Michigan, and California are all commission-drawn states. And Republicans got a pretty decent map in Arizona, and so they could probably pick up two or maybe even 3 seats in that state. You know, California continues to tilt toward the Democrats, but there are some, you know, Democratic targets in that state that could potentially fall to Republicans, although that California usually takes so long to count their votes that they won't be, that state, particularly on the West Coast, won't be a leading indicator, really. But in Michigan has, I think the commission did a good job there of drawing a lot of really competitive seats. And so if you see those seats in Michigan break one way or the other, that'll probably tell us something about what's, you know, what's going on in the House.
Kyle Condick is an elections analyst and is with the University of Virginia's Center for Politics. Kyle, thanks so much. Appreciate your insight.
Thank you.